They live just 20 minutes or less away from one another, but the barrier between Palestinian and Israeli children is thicker than just roadblocks and wire fences. The kids are the product of decades of hostilities and disagreements. In 1995, during a time of relative peace in the Middle East, filmmakers B.Z. Goldberg, Justine Shapiro, and Carlos Bolado went to Jerusalem to talk to Palestinian and Israeli children about their views on war and peace. Seven of those children are the subject of the movie Promises. As part of our series of interviews with Oscar-nominated documentary filmmakers, B.Z. Goldberg and Justine Shapiro join me from member station KQED in San Francisco. Hello, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
B.Z., you're Israeli. You grew up in Jerusalem, and you narrate this film. Why did you want to talk to children?
The film was shot between 95 and 2000, and it was the period of the Oslo Peace Accords, and all of the politicians, you know, Arafat and Rabin and Peres and Clinton and the Norwegian foreign minister, everybody was talking about the children. Every speech that you would hear would inevitably have someone say, the children this and the children that. And we realized nobody was actually talking to the children. And it was very clear that it wouldn't be this generation who would live in peace. It would be the next generation, if any at all. And so we thought it was a possibility of somehow taking a snapshot of what the next generation is going to look like, is going to be thinking, what are they going to be feeling, how will they relate to one another.
Well, let's meet some of these children. As I said, there are seven in this documentary. And let's go to a scene now where two of the seven, Yarko and Daniel, they're twins, and they're Israeli kids, and they're riding a bus. They're on their way to school, and we're learning about which buses they think are safe or not safe.
There were lots of terrorist attacks on the number 18 bus. People avoid the number 18, which is dumb, because if I take the number 22, which is supposed to be a safe line, I could still blow up. When I get on, I'm anxious, so I look for suspicious people. If I see a really scary person, I watch him. I try to get off before he does. I keep waiting for the explosion.
In today's current climate, I've spoken to them, and they are both terrified. I mean, they really have nightmares about bombs right now because the bombs are not going off once a year or once every few months in Jerusalem right now. The bombs are going off and people are being shot every day, so their reality has really changed.
But this film is not just about fear and about bombs, and it's also about kids who go to soccer games and go to track meets and compete and do all the stuff that kids do. So what were you guys looking for when you made this film? What did you want to convey?
While we were making the film, there were events of the sort of a current event headline news nature. Rabin was assassinated. There was the violence under the tunnel of the Temple Mount, Haram al-Sharif. There were bombs going off. I mean, not like now, but there was stuff happening. And we made a concerted decision to not include those kinds of things in the film. We decided, first of all, we couldn't afford to fly over there every time there was a breaking news. But also we decided we did not want the film to be a current events film. We see enough of that on television. We wanted to make something that people aren't seeing about what's going on in the Middle East. We really wanted to focus on the characters, on the people. And we felt like the kids, but more than teenagers and more than adults, that these children were able to really show themselves to the camera, reveal their hearts and their minds and their quirks. And this is the way to bring people into areas that they would never, ever go into by themselves. I mean, virtually nobody's going to go into a refugee camp and meet these kids.
Tell me, both of you, Justine and B.Z., did you expect to find entrenched opinions in coming from the mouths of the kids or not?
We decided to work with the age group that we worked with, which is kids between the ages of 9 and 12, because they expressed themselves so candidly. And when they did express themselves virulently, we often did hear their parents' voices or their teachers' voices and what they said. But then again, they were saying things on camera that their elders probably wouldn't say on camera. But we were surprised to find how open-minded that these kids were too. I mean, the one boy, Faraj, a Palestinian refugee boy, expresses very clearly, I don't want to meet Israelis. When I see Israelis, I want to throw a stone at him. And this is because he saw a friend of his killed during the first Intifada when he was 5 years old. And so he had very strong feelings against the Israelis. And yet, when he was shown a Polaroid of the two Israeli twins and he saw that they were just kids like him, and when he heard that Yarko and Danielle, the Israeli boys, were also athletes like him, he opened his mind and he invites them to the camp. And this completely blew us away. We were not prepared for Faraj to change his mind. And I think that this is something quite amazing because you don't ever see adults changing their mind.
In fact, we have that scene. We can listen to that when they're talking. Faraj talks to Yarko and Daniel on the telephone.
Hello.
Hello.
What?
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine, senor.
I'm fine.
I hear you are running.
100 meters.
Yes?
Yeah. What grade you are?
What?
What grade you are? You know, khat, shtam, shalosh, arba.
And in fact, after the phone call, they actually decide to meet in the flesh. The twins go to the Dehesha refugee camp to meet the Palestinian children. They spend a day with their family. They all eat together this fabulous meal. They go out and they play soccer. But they also visit the site of a Hamas encounter with Israeli troops. We see the bullet holes in the wall. So they have playful time together. Much of it, but they also have serious conversations. And I'm just wondering what happened, what ever became of the friendship between the twins and Faraj?
Well, the kids continued to meet a couple of times after that meeting on their own, and then the contact really stopped. Basically, the real boundaries of the checkpoint, the army, the borders, and also the boundaries that exists in their hearts and in their minds, it was just too deep. The rift was way too deep for these kids to continue contact. So after a few meetings, there were a few phone calls, and there hasn't been contact ever since.
There's a scene with Faraj 2 years later. You visit him in the film. You visit the kids a couple of years after you originally talked to them. He's obviously older, and he just has kind of a darker outlook than when we first met him. Let's hear that.
I feel the world has changed for the worse. There's no peace. There are wars and catastrophes. One can't begin to imagine his future or solve his problems. One's plans for the future may never happen, because the life we live doesn't allow us to accomplish our dreams.
The kinds of meetings that you see in the film, in Promises, aren't happening at all right now. You've got these people who are living 15 minutes from one another, and they have no knowledge of each other. And our fear is that unless those meetings happen between Palestinians and Israelis, then one day when there is an agreement, and everybody knows that there will be an agreement one day, whether it's in a year or 5 years or 10 years, and the question is, the day after the agreement, are there going to be Palestinians and Israelis who have one another's phone numbers, who can start building the infrastructure between these two peoples? And our fear is that with what's going on right now, the kinds of things and the kinds of hope that you see in the film, it's very, very fragile, and it is tenuous at best.
B.Z. Goldberg and Justine Shapiro, along with Carlos Bolado, directed and produced the Academy Award-nominated documentary Promises. It opens this week in New York and plays in wide release beginning next month. Thank you, Justine and B.Z.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.